You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
If you will, turn in your Bibles to John 20. John chapter 20. I want to share with you a powerful word that God gave me this week as I was meditating on what he would want me to share with you. I believe not just Easter, but every occasion that we have to come together is a special occasion, and we shouldn't take it for granted. We should always seek God's best in the midst of that. I believe every Sunday we should seek God's best. I'm not looking for leftovers. I'm not looking for whatever's left over after, you know, I'm tired from work and tired from the kids, and I'm going to give God my leftovers, or I got a little busy this week, and instead of studying and bringing a fresh word from the Lord, I'm just going to give you something that's kind of half-baked. No, I believe when we come to God's house, we give God the very best of us. So I want to give you the best of this revelation that God gave me. The Bible records that Mary Magdalene was the first person to see the resurrected Christ. Mary Magdalene. And I would like to tell a little bit of her story and dive into what her perspective was on when Jesus rose again. Is that all right? Amen. John 20:11 says, Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she stooped in to look. And she saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they've put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there, and it was Jesus. But she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you've taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which means teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." Then she gave them his message. You know, when I look at this passage of scripture, I try to think about what the trauma that Mary had gone through. I try to think about the heartbreak of having a hope in Christ and then seeing your hope crucified. Sometimes the enemy is just causing us trauma in our life. We got some stuff going on. I'm sorry, Kennard, you gotta take the trauma. There you go. The devil wants to, I'll lead you over here. The devil wants to cause you trauma in your life. Mary had gone through trauma. She had felt hopeless. She's crying. She's not just crying, she's weeping. There's a convulsive crying. It's a deep emotional despair that she's in. Maybe you've been at that place. Maybe you're at that place where there's so many emotions, there's a grieving in your heart. The enemy seeks to cause trauma in your life. It doesn't matter who you are, a believer, an unbeliever, the devil just, he wants to cause trauma to people. He wants to cause trauma. Thank you, Kennard. Maybe you're on the outside. Peekaboo.
There you go.
Maybe you feel like you're on the outside of the tomb. You're on the outside of what God is doing. You're seeing God work in other people's life. Maybe you're frustrated with that. You've seen other people get the blessing. You've seen other people increase. You've seen other people prosper, but you feel like you're on the outside. Mary was on the outside of the tomb crying, weeping. And this, if the enemy can keep you at that place of just emotional despair, giving up, frustrated with life, feeling all alone, feeling abandoned, feeling hopeless. The enemy wants to cause that type of trauma to you. Maybe the devil thinks he's beaten you. You know, I'm sure one or two of the 3 days that Jesus was dead, that the devil thought he won. At least maybe one good day, the devil thought, you know, I think I've gotten the better of Jesus. Maybe I've won. The devil may think he's beaten you. Maybe you've gone through circumstances. Maybe like Jesus, you were stripped of your dignity. Maybe you were beaten on the back. Maybe you were pierced with your head with worries. Maybe you were laid upon you a burden on your shoulders that was crushing. The enemy delights in causing trauma. Can you see that desperate Mary with me, hopeless, broken, not really knowing what comes next? Maybe you're asking today, what's next? What's God saying next? What's the next step for me? I'm in a tight place. Maybe in a place that I'm just a little lost. Mary was lost. Mary was a little lost. You know, she had a relationship with Jesus and she walked with him. She was close to him and some things happened, some trauma happened. And now she's standing on the outside looking in and, you know, she's just wondering what's next. I want to tell you today, God wants you to see something. It says Mary stoops in the tomb and she sees something. She's two angels. And suddenly, hope starts to stir in her. Her eyes open to see there's hope. There's a message. I want to tell you today, God has a message for you. God didn't just want you to come to church. God's got a message for you. God just doesn't want tradition for you. He wants to give you a message. He wants to open up your eyes and let you see something you hadn't seen before. Maybe he wants to go somewhere with you. Maybe you need to do something you've never done before. So he's got to open your eyes, open your perspective, open up your understanding so that you can see something greater. Because if you want to go somewhere greater, you got to see something greater first. So she sees this hope. She sees the angel, the messenger, a fresh word in the middle of the struggle. Let me tell you something. Even in the midst of your struggle, God has a fresh word for you. I want to stand here and tell you today, God has a fresh word for you. God has a fresh word for you. You may be struggling. You may be frustrated. God has a word for you today. God has a fresh word. And even if you're struggling, God's going to let you see something that's going to infuse you with hope. You can write this down. God's got a word that will change your vision. Maybe you've been looking at the problem for one direction and God's going to just change your vantage point and let you see it from a different direction. And it's going to change everything. Just a little word from God changes our vision. And you see, Mary, she saw the angels. God opened up her eyes, but she still had to adjust her focus. She's still focused. She saw the angels, but what was the question she asked? She said, oh, where's the body of Jesus? Where have you laid him? She didn't have a vision of a resurrected Christ. She still had a vision of a dead Christ. The vision was still dead. So she had vision, but she didn't have focus. She had a message, but she wasn't focused. Sometimes we have too much noise going on. We got emotions firing off and they cloud our ability to really focus in on what God is saying. Maybe it's some stuff in our lives. Maybe it's some past stuff, some past hurts. Maybe it's some friends in our lives that are just kind of cluttering up, making some white noise in our life that we're not able to focus in on what God is saying. And maybe it's something we're just too plugged into social media or something. And it's just, we got so much noise going on that we can't focus. Can I tell you this today? God wants to change your focus. You need to maybe focus in on what God, whatever you got to do, get some spiritual glasses on today. The Bible says we see through a glass darkly. Sometimes we got to change the lens of what we're looking through so we can have focus. So we can see the perspective that we need to see. You can have a word from God, but if you're fixated on the wrong thing and you're out of focus, you're not going to get anything from the word that God gives you. God gives you a prophecy. God gives you something to stand on. But if you're out of focus, the motions are out of whack, you're not going to be able to see what God wants you to see. See, she was focused on the natural body of Christ instead of the spiritual promise of Christ. See, Jesus had laid all this out for the disciples. He said, you know what? I'm going to die. 3 days, I'm going to raise again. But you see, they were focused still on the natural, and they were entangled with emotions. Emotions can be a great thing, but the emotions have to follow the principles of God. When the principles of God lead, the emotions color our world in a beautiful way. But if the emotions lead, guess what? We get out of focus. And this was Mary. She was fixated on the wrong thing. Listen to this. Don't miss your miracle by being out of focus. Come on, take that home with you today. Don't miss your miracle by being out of focus. See, she was still focused on the grief, focused on the hurts in her life, focused on the natural. And Jesus wants us not to focus on the grief, the natural, the hurts. He wants us to focus on the vision, the spirit, the miracle. It's the spirit that brings new life. It's the spirit that brings healing. Focus on the hurt doesn't bring healing to the hurt. The spirit brings healing to the hurt. So even when Jesus shows up, she still is out of focus and she's not able to see that it's him. Can I tell you, maybe there's some things, some circumstances in your life today that Jesus is right in the midst of it, but you're not seeing it. If you're out of focus, like Mary was out of focus and she didn't even see the Lord standing in front of her. Don't miss your miracle by being out of focus. She comes in, the angel gives her a word. She receives the word, but she's still out of focus. Anybody ever had a moment like that? Anybody have be honest, it's the house of the Lord. Anybody ever had a moment like that? You had a word from the Lord, but you were just a little out of focus. Maybe you had a word from the Lord, but you were standing on the promises of the Lord, but something wasn't coming together. I don't know why, but it's just not coming together. Maybe things aren't focused. Something was keeping you from seeing the whole picture or seeing the whole manifestation. See, Mary receives the word from the angel, but she's out of focus. Then she turns and she sees Jesus, but she's still out of focus. She's still out of focus. She misreads what's going on. She says, oh, that's the gardener. Can I tell you today, Jesus could be right in the midst of your circumstance and you could, oh, that's just the gardener. Can I tell you, God's doing something right now in your life, but if you don't have your focus where it needs to be, you're going to say, oh, that's just Bill. That's just Gee. That's just Anthony. That's just Bridget. No, that's Jesus in the midst of your circumstance. God could be right in the midst of your circumstance, but when we're out of focus, we can miss it. We can miss it. We can miss it. The miracle, the very miracle that she was waiting for, that her heart and her soul was crying out, was right in front of her. And that is the power of focus. Turn to somebody and say, that's the power of focus. You got a word? Maybe you got a word. That's great. But can you focus? Can you stand on that word? Can you fight for that word? Can you keep clarity with that word? Can you focus? Can you focus? Can I have some of the worship team up here? When Mary finally realizes that it's Jesus, she begins to worship. When Mary finally gets her focus right and Jesus kind of has to center her because she's so emotionally distraught that Jesus kind of has to say, hey, Mary, it's me. And she begins to worship him. She's celebrating. Maybe she's probably crying again. How many people have criers in your life? You cry over a good TV commercial, cry over the kids. It's a good situation, they cry. It's a bad situation, they cry. It's seems like they're crying. I think Mary Magdalene was one of those type of people. She's crying outside of the tomb. She's crying inside the tomb. She's crying when she sees Jesus. Lots of crying. But Mary gets focused enough to recognize it's Jesus. Then she worships him. Then she greets him. Then she clings to him. Where's my stage five clinger? Let's go. Come on. Come on. You can do it. Yeah. All right. I don't know you can see this, but I'm going to help you see it. Sometimes when we're trying to, as parents, do something, we have a clinger trying to go to the office, but we have a clinger. We have some work to do, but we have a clinger. Doesn't want to let me do what I need to do because he's clinging. Good job, buddy. You can go sit down. Good job. You know, theologians say that Mary was grasping and holding on to his feet in a way that he could not go. That's the reason why he said, don't cling to me right now. Because she was grasping onto his feet and wouldn't let go. What are you clinging to today? What are you clinging to? Because there's some things in our lives we have to grasp onto and not let go. Jesus realized what was going on, and she was focused on the natural. She was clinging to his natural body instead of the promise and the fulfillment of purpose. She was focused on his natural body instead of the manifestation of his destiny. Everything in this narrative, she's talking about his natural body. Where did you put his body? And asking the angels, where did you put his body? And she sees Jesus, thinks he's the gardener, and says, where did you put his body? And then when he shows up, she's clinging to his body instead of realizing the miracle and the revelation and the manifestation that he was trying to perform in her life. Sometimes that's us. Sometimes we're clinging on to the wrong thing. But we have to cling on to the right thing. The Bible tells us that some things in this life will go strangely dim. Little by little, they'll just kind of get less important, until they move into the background. And if we're clinging to the wrong thing, we've wasted our time. We've wasted our life. We've wasted our resources. Holding on to something that's passing away instead of clinging on to what we need to cling on to. What are you clinging on to today? The Hebrew of cling is, can I get Kennard or can I get somebody up here? Nelson, get up here. The Hebrew of cling means to latch on. I don't know about you, but it's time to latch on to what God has for you. It's time to latch on that no matter where you go, no matter what you do, say, I'm taking this truth with me. I'm taking this promise with me. I'm taking this prophecy with me. I'm not letting it go because I'm latched on. I'm latched on to what God is doing in my life. I'm latched on to the promises that God has given me. I'm latched on and I won't let go. I know what I need to cling to. And I won't let go. The other thing in the Hebrew that cling means, first thing is fasten yourself. But the second thing is to attach to fire. Cling means attach to fire. And you know, I think Mary wasn't ready for that yet. So Jesus said, don't cling to me yet. Don't cling to me. You're not ready for this. Turn to somebody and say, are you ready? Are you ready? Because you know, when the Lord shows up, it's fire. It's fire. It cling means attach to fire. And Mary, Jesus said, Mary, you're not ready in this moment, but you know what? Go and get all the disciples together because I'm going to get something ready. I got something for you to cling to. Right now you're clinging to the wrong thing, but if you get everybody together, I'm going to break it down for everybody so I don't have to repeat myself because everybody needs to get this. If you're a disciple, you need to get this. If you want to be in the manifestation of this season of what God is doing, you need to get this so you can cling to this because this is going to change your life. This fire, this power is going to change your life. everything for you. This season's going to be completely different than the last season. There were some things in your last season that need to get burned up. God's going to put a fire inside of you that's going to give you the zeal to accomplish the destiny that God has put in your life. You know, there's some things in your heart. There's some things in your spirit. There's some things that God has placed in the night hour in your dreams aren't going to come to pass with a casual attitude. You got to get some fire.
Yep.
You got to get some fire. Jeremiah said, it's like a fire in my bones. I'm afraid that if I sit still, it might just consume me. His word is like a fire in my bones. We got to know what's to cling to. Resurrection power was on Jesus, and resurrection power is in this place. Are you ready to get a hold of that today? I said, are you ready to get a hold of that today? I said, are you ready to get a hold of that today? Will you stand up on your feet with me right now? Because I believe the same God 2,000 years ago that rose up from the grave with the power of resurrection flowing through his body is in this place today. And God was, he wanted to make sure that Mary was ready. He said, you know what? I'm going to even need to stick around and teach you for 40 days so you'll understand the fullness of this power. I'm about to lay something on you that you can cling to. I'm about to lay something on you that you can hold on to for dear life, because this is the power. This is the power that you've been looking for. This is the power that gives boldness. This is the power that took disciples that were afraid and made them bold. This is the power that took men that were unlearned and put them before kings. This is the power to bring healing. This is the power to bring miracles. This is the power that I'm talking about today. Resurrection power. I believe this is going to revolutionize your next season of your life. God was telling me today, God was telling me this week, this is the miracle you've been looking for. God is about to release the miracle that you've been looking for in your life. He's about to give you power. He's about to give you power. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Jesus said, get everybody together, because there's something powerful when everybody gets together and they're unified in one mind and one accord. There's something that can happen that's powerful. Fire can break out when we're in one mind and one accord. We get synergized. We get in unity with the Lord, and we get in unity with each other. And we say, hey, listen, I'm with a few people that are believing like I'm believing, that God can do anything. That even if something's got to come back to life, I believe God can do it. God is the God of the living. He's not the God of the dead. The problem is, so many times we're trying to spice up the dead thing in our lives instead of let God infuse us with resurrection power. Come on, people of God. So many times we're trying to put spices, make something smell good that's dead. Whatever you need to do today, maybe you need to cut that dead thing loose. Maybe you need to see resurrection power bring that dead dream back to life. But let me tell you something. With man, it's impossible. In the natural, it's impossible. You can't do it without the Spirit. The Spirit is what makes it possible. Do you know that scientists say that from the moment that we're born, we begin to die? From the moment we're born, we begin to die. But let me tell you what the hope of glory is: resurrection power. God wants to infuse us with the power for this season that's going to shake things in your circumstance, that's going to shake things in your circle of influence, that's going to shake things at your job, that's going to shake things in your family, that's going to shake things in your world. He is the God of the living. You can't receive it until you've seen it. God wants you to see something today. First, you have to see it. Then you can walk in. And that's why Jesus said, for 40 days, I'm going to teach it. And then for 10 days, I'm going to go away and I'm going to prep it for you. And then I'm going to give it to you, something that you can cling to. Come on, will you lift your hands with me today? I believe, I believe, I believe in a resurrected Jesus. I don't believe in a dead religion. I don't believe in tradition. I believe in a Jesus that rose from the grave. I believe in a Jesus that has resurrection power. I believe Jesus that has a fresh word today. I believe in a Jesus that has a fresh solution for your problem, for what you're going through today. If you believe that, just lift up your hands today.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.